I think they're lousy politicians. But two things they have. They're vicious and they stick together. They don't have Mitt Romney in their midst. They don't have people like that. They stick together. You never see them break off.
President Donald Trump talking about the Democrats. Good morning and welcome into this Tuesday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that so far, all is good with your day. Whenever or wherever you may be listening, thank you. Thank you so much for being part of the growing family that is The Daily Perspective podcast. It's good to have you along today. And today, I said, taking a deep breath in through my nose, it's going to be an interesting day. As you heard at the outset, President Trump had something to say about the Democrats. And in case you missed it, here it is again.
I think they're lousy politicians. But two things they have. They're vicious and they stick together. They don't have Mitt Romney in their midst. They don't have people like that. Mm. They stick together. You never see them break off.
Absolutely true. The Democrat Party beats its own into submission and will accept nothing less than absolute obedience to the party line. And such is the case when you are dealing with progressives. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes, though. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hopefully it is where you are as well. Where I am, we had a lot of rain. It got us all wet. And following that is a little bit of a chill, which is kind of nice. And it feels like fall. Leaves are on the ground. We didn't have a whole lot of color this year because it was so hot for so long and so dry. Everything just kind of turned brown and started falling off. But in some places, there are patches. But around where I live, not so much. Lots of dead leaves on the driveway, all over the yard. Time to break out the big blower and do some work. But it's got there's a little bit of a bite in the air. It feels better than it has the last couple of days. And I'm looking forward to a good one. I hope you are as well. There's an awful lot of lunacy in the news today. We're watching our government at work. And this is, I think, one reason so many people don't watch our government at work. I think most people prefer not to watch the sausage being made. They don't like seeing the process. They just want things to be the way they want them to be. And we are all guilty of that. You and I, as conservative people, and liberal people, progressive people, tend to just want things to be the way they want them to be. However, progressive people tend to notice when things go wrong, and rather than just going to the ballot box and voting to change things, they decide to pitch a royal fit. Which is why you see groups like Antifa in the streets berating decent folks, calling them Nazis and murderers. And on the right, we generally bite our lips, shake our heads, and say, hey, that's no way to behave. And that's about the extent of it. And President Trump is right. The Democrats walk in lockstep together. And the Republicans will point fingers at each other and say, hey, that's not right. And they won't stand united. Regardless. That's one reason that President Trump has had difficulty, is that there have been hardline, lifelong politicians and diplomats and government employees working behind the scenes to keep him from doing his job. I think you and I need to remember this. We need to pay attention. We need to encourage our friends to pay attention. Because you can't just go to the polling place, cast your vote, walk away, and ignore what happens afterwards. You have to follow the process. I heard the illustration one time years ago that has stuck with me. And it's like this person, a caller to a talk show I was listening to, said, we went to the polls, we voted. Then we turned around and went back to our lives. We put our heads down and got busy with our work and our families and our lives in general, trusting the people we voted for to do the job we voted for them to do. And then one day, we stood up and looked around and realized the people that we put in office were not doing the job we told them we wanted done. And that caller was absolutely right. A great illustration of what goes on when we send people to Washington, D.C. Because the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. is very different than you may assume it to be. And it is a very different atmosphere, a very different place. It is a place where we can't just assume that the job is being done because there is so much pressure on the people we send there to do what is wrong. There's so much pressure for those people to submit to the pressure. I guess that's the only way I can put it. The peer pressure is there. They come in and they find out things don't work the way they're designed to work. And they have to adapt and they have to change. And eventually those who are weak just give in and play along. And when they play along, nothing gets done. At least nothing we sent them to do. So we have to pay attention. As much as we really, really, really want to put our head down and go about our business of life, we just can't. We have to keep watching these people, and we have to call them on the carpet when they misbehave. And sadly, as we're watching in the news today, that's turning into almost a full-time job. But in the end, it is our job. We elect people to represent us. That phrase, we the people, that's what that means. We, the people, govern ourselves. And when we pass that off to someone and then assume they are doing our job for us, we're not doing ours. We must pay attention to what's happening after the vote occurs, which is why things happen that we don't like. It's because we take our focus off of what's going on. Part of our attention has to be spent on keeping an eye on the people we put to work for us. Because if we don't, everything will fall apart. If you're an honest individual, if you're an adult, an honest adult, and you've been in the workplace for any amount of time, you know this is true. Especially if you have worked in a managerial capacity. Especially if you are a business owner. You know that if you aren't keeping an eye on things, and if you don't have trusted people, trustworthy people working underneath you to keep an eye on things, that at some point, everything changes and nothing operates like it should anymore. And eventually, you have to go in and make corrections. And those corrections are always painful. Not just for you, but for the people involved who made mistakes. The people involved who shirked off and didn't do their jobs. Or the people who just ignored the way, the guidelines you set up for how your business is supposed to be run. It has to happen. I've been binge watching these TV shows from the Discovery Channel, Gold Rush. It's kind of a competition show. I told you about it last week. My wife says it's soap operas for men because there's all this drama going on. And yeah, there's drama, but there's competition. And these people are all working hard to produce the largest amount of gold each year in this 5 to 6 month season they have in the Klondike or the Yukon to actually dig for gold and produce it. And one of the things that you see time and time again is that the people who own the gold operations have to keep an eye on the people who work at the gold operations, because if they leave for any reason, when they come back, something's always messed up. And that's because people who don't see the whole picture, the big picture, lose sight of the big picture. They lose sight of the reason why certain things are done, because they become overwhelmed with the minutiae of doing the job. They get wrapped up in things and lose their way. And someone who is at the 30,000 foot level looking down on the entire operation and understands how everything functions has to come back in and nudge people back into proper line again. Sometimes it's ugly. And you and I are the employers. In a sense, we are the business owners. In a sense, we are the ones at the 30,000 foot level who have to keep an eye on everything as it happens and from time to time call a meeting and say, hey, you did wrong. Let's correct it. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that, except for the people who are being corrected. When you watch a lot of these political movers and shakers on television, you get the definite sense that they see themselves as the expert, and they see you and I as the idiots who should just listen to what they have to say. That is especially true in the Democrat Party. The progressives, as I have said numerous times, see themselves as both intellectually and morally superior to everyone else. So when someone questions how or why they do something, they don't take it well, because they don't believe they're wrong. They believe you are. So if you point out something that isn't right, they will just shake their heads and look down at you and say, you just don't understand. When in fact, you actually do understand, because you've got the 30,000 foot view, you see everything that's happening, and you realize they're ignoring you. And in the process of ignoring you, they're screwing everything up. And on top of that, they are adamant about their position and refuse to acknowledge anyone else's view on the things. But as President Trump said, they stick together. The Democrats do. They toe the party line, and they will crucify anyone who doesn't, which is what's happened with Tulsi Gabbard and others who don't toe the party line. We're seeing it happen again and again. Let's get to the article about that particular quote that I played for you. President Donald Trump declared yesterday that while Democrats are lousy, they have two things going for them. They're vicious, and they stick together. Adding that they don't have to deal with people like Mitt Romney in their party. The Daily Wire reported that President Trump made those remarks after being asked by a reporter during a press conference, "You said that Republicans need to get tougher and fight. What are you talking about, Mr. President?" He responded, "Well, I think the Democrats fight dirty. I think the Democrats are lousy politicians with lousy policy. They want open borders. They don't care about crime. They want sanctuary cities. They don't care about drugs. They don't care about almost anything. They don't care about USMCA. I think they're lousy politicians. But two things they have, they're vicious and they stick together. They don't have Mitt Romney in their midst. They don't have people like that. They stick together. You never see them break off. You never see somebody go out and do their own thing." He made his remarks the day after Romney, one of President Trump's most vocal critics within the Republican Party, admitted to operating a shadow Twitter account under the fake name Pierre Delecto, to promote himself and criticize the president. While President Trump didn't comment directly on Romney's covert Twitter operation, his son, Donald Jr., tweeted, "If Mitt Romney had any guts, he'd take on media directly rather than with a fake Twitter account. But he doesn't. He only says things that will ingratiate him to shame the mainstream media that destroyed him during his failed run. They're using him, and he doesn't even get it. Sad." So very true. Mitt Romney is breaking from the pack and shooting those around him who he disagrees with. And it's not doing any of us any good. And that's what the president's talking about. The Republicans make that mistake all the time. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Tuesday edition of the podcast. I thought for a second, wait, is that right? Yes, that's right. It's Tuesday. Well, that ought to tell you a little bit about my Monday. And yesterday morning, we got together yesterday morning for the podcast. I recorded that. And then as soon as I was finished, I ushered the dog into her kennel, grabbed the keys to the car, and hit the road. And went over to the Dawson Now Studios and produced that podcast, edited that podcast down, uploaded it to the podcast hosting service, added the show notes and everything, and then came back to the studio, grabbing a bite for lunch along the way, and then edited this podcast for yesterday and uploaded that. And if you were paying attention yesterday, you saw when that happened because I posted to social media. That was the kind of day I had yesterday. Holy moly. And that's on the far side of the world from me, by the way. It's a long way from this little studio to that studio. But I'm happy to be doing that. It's good. Scott's a friend. He's got a good podcast. It was an interesting show. A very interesting show. There was a lot about, he talked with the person who's in charge of the Alabama chapter of the Epilepsy Foundation of America. And it was, I know you're thinking, wow, Snoresville. No, actually, it was very interesting because this person is epileptic. She's been through this process. She's back to the point where she can drive now. And she gave us some great tips on epilepsy itself, because it's one of those things that most people don't really understand. And she also talked about things you should do and should not do if someone around you has a seizure, because there are some old wives' tales. There's some old things that people say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. No. I suggest that if you you should go to DawsonNow.com, look on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, and listen to this particular edition of the show, because it's very informative. It's a good show. And I'm not saying that just because I produced it. It's a good show. I think you'll like it. Okay, during the break, I'm opening the opening the tabs where I've got my stories to talk about. And, get distracted by a couple of things. First up, smack in the middle of this next story, there's a video that supports it. And it's a video from The View. And the first image that comes up when you click on play is Whoopi Goldberg. And, I don't want to be unkind, but Whoopi's looking a whole lot more like a Star Trek character in real life lately. That was my first thought was, wow, is she going to go do something for, no, never mind. Anyway. And then at the bottom of the page, there's, I don't know how many, what's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. There's 18 different little pictures of things to click on. It's called You May Like. And there's things like, this trick can drop your bed, bath, and beyond total insanity. the thing about big trucks and how little they actually cost for what you get. Let's see. Meet the awesome new Toyota Camry. And let's see, 90% of people can't pass this iconic person quiz. Try it. And there's more. But right up at the top, in the top row, there's a picture of cashews. Those are three cashews. And the caption is, U.S. cardiologist, it's like a pressure wash for your insides.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yeah, that's what I like thinking about this time of the day. You know what I need to do about that problem? I need a pressure washer. Trust me, I've got one in the garage. I would never use it for that. No, sorry. I can see at the emergency room. So what happened? Would you like to? Well, there was this pressure washer. Okay. All right. Never mind. That's all I need to know. Put him under. Oh, man. Oh, that's just insane. But it's not quite as insane, I think, as what was said on The View. I've kind of adopted a no view policy around here on this podcast because honestly, I get the hives just thinking about The View because it's just so wrong. Everything about it is so wrong. But here we go. View hosts Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin supported former First Lady and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's claim that 2020 hopeful Representative Tulsi Gabbard, the Democrat from Hawaii, is a Russian asset. Hostin believes Gabbard is the Trojan horse of 2020 because she often appears on Fox News, was endorsed by white supremacist David Duke, which, by the way, she did renounce, as everyone ever who has been endorsed by David Duke renounces. No, didn't seek that. No, we don't share those views. And receives praise from online Russian bots and websites. Can I just say that if you receive praise as a political figure from online Russian bots and websites, you can pretty much just shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's bogus. You see what I mean? You can't take that seriously because you know that if it's the source is Russian and if it is political, if it's coming from Russian websites and bots, which are written for the purpose of flogging us to death with information, you can pretty much bet the farm that that's not serious. That's not something that's real. But oh my, my, if you happen to be in opposition to Her Majesty, then of course you must take it as serious and as the gospel truth. Well, Hostin argued, Hillary's been dead on with so many things. She told us about Russia. She told us about the probable interference during the debates. She was Secretary of State. She has deep knowledge about world issues. I thought, where's the lie? Tulsi is sort of the Trojan horse in this. She's polling at only 1.2%, yet she's still in the race. Can we stop for just a moment? Hillary's been dead on with so many things. And these are the examples. She told us about Russia. Yeah, she told us about Russia. She was involved. She told us about probable interference during the debates. Yeah, she got debate questions from CNN, from Donna Brazile. She was Secretary of State. Uh-huh. Anybody besides me remember the reset button? And the look on that diplomat's face, that Russian diplomat, like, you're serious about this? No, I'm sorry. Do you want to serious about these? She has deep knowledge about world issues. Yes, she does. And pretty much anybody who finds out about that knowledge winds up committing suicide. I thought, where's the lie? It's all a lie. Everything about the woman is a massive lie. Holy cow. Now, Tulsi Gabbard doubled down on a statement she shared on Twitter Friday. She said, great. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. You, the queen of warmongers, embodiment of corruption, and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democrat Party for so long, have finally come out from behind the curtain. From the day I announced my candidacy, there's been a concerted campaign to destroy my reputation. We wondered who was behind it and why. Now we know it was always you. Through your proxies and powerful allies in the corporate media and war machine, afraid of the threat I pose, it's now clear that this primary is between you and me. Don't cowardly hide behind your proxies. Join the race directly. Gabbard's response wasn't enough for Joy Behar, who told viewers she wasn't because Gabbard failed to deny her alleged ties to Russia. Hillary's, quote, Hillary's been right about almost everything. She's been exonerated with that nonsense that they pulled about her server already. Really? When was that? When did that get exonerated? Going on, she says, this idea that she's doing this to get back in the race, I don't buy that either. I don't think Hillary wants to go through that again. I don't say that Tulsi's an agent. I just think that she could be a useful idiot the way Trump is a useful idiot to the Russians. So once again, removing all doubt, the ladies of The View, and I apologize to ladies everywhere for using that term to describe them, have once again opened their mouths and removed all doubt about how just how stupid they actually are. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along today. Oh, my word. I had to get a fresh cup of coffee and wash the view out of my head. Oh, good gravy. And then there's more sidebar ads. Yikes. Can I just for a moment? Do you mind? The thing is that I open these articles up in a web browser. I have them on one side of my big iMac screen, and I have other things, you know, bouncing around. Actually, I have two screens sitting right in front of me. One has all the automation stuff, one, and the Facebook Live connection, and the other screen has the content that I'm referring to. And the web browser gets to be distracting sometimes because I'll see things at the bottom of articles that I'm talking about with you. And, wow, I wonder what that is. And I'll click on it and move through it. And 9 times out of 10, if it's something that I think, oh, that's interesting, it turns out to be a stinking slideshow. And you click on the thing and it'll say something. You wouldn't believe the mention this particular celebrity or politician or, you know, somebody you know from just life lives in. And you go click on it, and what you get is a couple of dozen pictures of everything but that. And it's just, you keep thinking, well, they'll get there. They'll get there. They're not getting there. And at the top, let's see, at the top of this one, let's see, this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is the sixth one in this series at the bottom of this page. It's right next to the one that says top U.S. vet reveals which meat your cat should avoid. But there's a picture of Bill Murray, a much younger Bill Murray, I must add. And below it, it says what most fans never realized about Groundhog Day. Can I just say that Groundhog Day has been around for so long now, the movie has been around for so long, that fans, most fans, can quote every line and describe every scene verbatim. If you're a fan of that movie, you know that movie like you know your mother's birthday. It's just, there's no excuse for not. You know what I mean? So what you're going to get, I haven't clicked on it. I resisted temptation, but I would just about bet you that I'm going to click on it. If you click on it, then what you get, yep, it's a slideshow. I knew it was. And then the first item is Bill Murray wasn't the first choice. While we couldn't imagine Groundhog Day without Bill Murray, surprisingly, he wasn't the first choice for the film. Initially, both Tom Hanks and Michael Keaton turned down the role of weatherman Phil Collins. Although Tom Hanks was busy, he also didn't think the character fit his personality and that the ending would be too predictable if he was the star. Michael Keaton, on the other hand, just didn't understand the script and passed on the role, a decision he later admitted he regrets. Yikes. So, Groundhog Day. You probably know about that. Oh, man. Let's move along. Well, you're probably aware by now that Republicans in the House, basically, they want to spank Chairman Schiff, Adam Shifty Schiff, because he's heading up this impeachment inquiry, and he's ignoring due process. He's holding meetings in secret. He's ignoring the Constitution, but telling everybody, oh, this is all constitutional. And he's basically just being the slimy creature from the swamp that he actually is. And yesterday, the Democrats defeated that resolution to censure House Intelligence Committee Chairman Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California, on a partisan vote, 218 to 185. Every Democrat voted to table the measure, and all the Republicans voted against tabling it. Schiff was criticized for lying about whether the Ukraine whistleblower had contact with his office, and also for falsely quoting the president during a congressional hearing. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California, criticized Schiff in a statement after the vote, which says, "Each member of Congress must uphold a high standard of honesty and integrity. When it comes to matters of our national security, that responsibility is even greater. Chairman Schiff has fallen short in his duty, from claiming he had evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign to covering up his committee's relationship with the whistleblower. He has demonstrated a pattern of lying to the American people on matters of intelligence." Schiff responded in a tweet from his account, saying, "It will be said of House Republicans when they found they lacked the courage to confront the most dangerous and unethical president in American history, they consoled themselves by attacking those who did." Democratic Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois went on CNN to excoriate Republicans and accuse them of trying to deflect from the controversies swirling around the White House. He said they don't want to talk about the president, what he did, and his abuse of power. And that's the issue here, Mr. Quigley and Mr. Schiff. And that is that you keep telling us there's been an abuse of power, but you can't produce anything to prove there's been an abuse of power. All you can do is make accusations. All you can do is field allegations. That's all you can do, because you can't prove anything. There's no there. So you keep lying to us. Lying to us. And by the way, that line about having the courage to confront the most dangerous and unethical president in American history, in essence, is true. But not about Donald Trump. The Republicans didn't confront Barack Hussein Obama in the way they should have. They should have stood strongly against him. They should have demanded certain things. They should have gone through inquiries about things that they did not. So yeah, the Republicans can be gutless. They can. But when it comes to the current president, the man occupying the Oval Office right now, there's nothing there to stand up to, except an unconventional approach to being president. That's it. He's not following the playbook. He's not behaving as expected and approved by the political insiders. He's not a member of the Washington, D.C. swamp elite. And so those who are members of the Swamp Elite don't like him. They just don't like him. Also, and I've said this before, but let me just say it again. They were so sure that they were going to continue the 8 years of the complete and total fundamental transformation of the United States of America that when it didn't happen, they were completely blindsided. They honestly believed Hillary was going to win. They believed that she would continue the work that had been started with Barack Obama. They believed that they were going to have someone else in the White House who could talk to the cameras in the lights while they, in the darkness, in the basements, behind the scenes, were doing things to dismantle the foundation of this country. But it didn't happen. Because overwhelmingly, the American people overcame all of the shenanigans that they had been doing. They overcame all of the corruption. They overcame all of the fraud that had been put in place to ensure that Hillary Clinton would win. The American people overwhelmingly chose Donald Trump. His Electoral College win was a landslide. So the states spoke. The states said, no, we don't want that woman in office. The states said, give us the guy with the record of success. Give us the guy who's from the outside and is not part of the problem. And that's what we have now. Adam Schiff and the Democrats and the deep state progressive Republicans don't like that. People like Mitt Romney don't like that. But you and I, we do. We're kind of happy that less taxes are being cut from our paychecks. We're kind of happy that the economy is doing well. We're kind of happy that more people are working. We're kind of happy that black unemployment is at its lowest time pretty much ever. The same for Hispanic unemployment. We're pretty happy that things are going good for America because that's good for everybody. But you and I, we're sane. For the most part, you and I, we're level-headed and we're honest. And we see things as they are and accept things as they are. We see truth and falsehoods for what they are and the absurdity for what it is. But people like Adam Schiff and the Democrat leftists, they see things as they are, and they're angry about it, and they want to undermine everything that's been going on because it's destroying their dream for a progressive America, which would follow in the footsteps of failed nations around the world. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Tuesday edition of the show. Tuesday's another one of those filler days with no respect. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday get all the attention. Tuesday and Thursday, they hang out together and compare notes. Nobody respects us, man. I mentioned before that the Democrats are doing things in secret. They're meeting in basements, having secret meetings, and hiding things from people. And House Republicans are saying that they're being blocked from the impeachment inquiry. And I keep seeing these articles, and I hope you do too, because you need to know what's actually going on in Washington. You need to know what the Democrats are actually up to, or down to. Several House Republicans said they were blocked from the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump, including one who said it was the first time in nearly 17 years in Congress he was blocked from reviewing documents. He says, "This morning I was denied access to any and all classified documents related to impeachment. In my nearly 17 years in Congress, this is the first time that I've been unable to review documentation being held at the House Intel Committee. This is completely unacceptable." And that was Representative Mario Diaz-Balart, a Republican of Florida, said that in a statement. Arizona Republican Representative Andy Biggs said he tried to join the impeachment inquiry closed-door session being held on the October 16th, but was denied access. Republican from Florida, Matt Gaetz, gained access to an impeachment inquiry hearing on Monday, but was thrown out. Biggs told reporters that the inquiry is not formal because House Speaker Nancy Pelosi did not hold a House vote authorizing the inquiry. "There are major discrepancies between what's happening and the normal course of events in Congress," he alleged. Yikes. Here's a quote. "If you had a formal impeachment inquiry, you wouldn't be having Soviet-style secret hearings where we would have to go plead and say, 'Can we come in?' Because normally every member of Congress can go into any committee hearing that's ongoing, and we can sit there and we can actually go up to somebody sitting at the stand and say, 'How about this question? You might consider this.' You can't do that here." Biggs also hit Democrats for refusing to release transcripts from the closed-door depositions of former and current State Department personnel who have testified before several committees in the hearings. He said, "Why can't we see the transcript? They don't know why we can't see the transcript, only that we can't see the transcript." Biggs said House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff, who fabricated portions of the Trump phone call transcript, is holding back the deposition transcripts to dictate what's happening. He said, "By delaying the release and preventing us from participating, he makes everything move at the speed and direction he wants it to move." Republican from Wisconsin, Representative Liz Cheney, said Wednesday that Republican representatives tried to gain access to transcripts of testimony but were denied. She says, "I think one of the really important things to recognize about the impeachment effort is the extent to which the materials are being kept in secret, not just from the public, but kept in secret from other members. The Constitution of the United States does not say whether that the power of impeachment resides with Speaker Pelosi. It doesn't say it resides with the Speaker of the House. It doesn't say it resides with the Chairman of the Intel Committee. It says it resides with the House of Representatives." Democrats have said the testimonies need to be kept hidden from most to prevent witnesses from aligning stories. The Republicans would like nothing better because they view their role as defending the president being the president's lawyers. If witnesses could tailor their testimony to other witnesses, they would love for one witness to be able to hear what another witness says so they can know what they can give away and what they can't give away. That's what Schiff said during an interview over the weekend. He says, "There's a reason why investigations and grand jury proceedings, for example, and I think this is analogous to a grand jury proceeding, are done out of the public view initially. Now, we may very well call some of the same witnesses or all the same witnesses in public hearings as well, but we want to make sure that we meet the needs of the investigation and not give the president or his legal minions the opportunity to tailor their testimony and in some cases fabricate testimony to suit their interests." Wow. Okay. That's interesting. So you couldn't do that with the Republicans. Is that what you're saying? So you couldn't do that with your political opposition there because they're all guilty too. Mm-hmm. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican, criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi over the weekend, said so Saturday, for using an impeachment inquiry against President Trump and as a way to undo the 2016 presidential election, which Democrats suggest was wrongly decided. by the American people. He says, when I watch the House impeachment proceedings, I'm both perplexed and appalled. Here's what I hear Speaker Pelosi and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff saying to the American people. You're stupid and we're smart. I hear them saying to the American people, you're so stupid you can't govern yourselves. I hear them saying, you're so stupid that you chose President Trump over Secretary Clinton and we have to fix it for you. I hear them saying, you're so stupid, we're not even going to show you the evidence. You can't handle it. We're going to do all of this behind closed doors and then tell you what we're going to do. I find that appalling. I find it perplexing because I read all these stories about Speaker Pelosi and what an extraordinarily talented politician she is and how she's a strategic thinker and major tactician. And I think to myself, does she really believe the American people are going to fall for this? I know that Speaker Pelosi is a smart lady. She's not dumb. But if this were anybody else, I would be thinking to myself, it must suck to be that dumb. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives announced in September they'd be moving forward with an impeachment inquiry. The move was in response to a whistleblower's testimony accusing Trump of asking Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky to investigate Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden for using his position as vice president to remove a Ukrainian prosecutor who was looking into his son's business dealings. The reports were not confirmed at the time of the announcement, and it was not until a day later that the White House released a transcript of Trump's exchange with Zelensky. After the transcript was made public, many have argued that it fails to show the direct quid pro quo agreement initially alleged. Democrats, however, have stood their ground on impeachment despite refraining from naming a high crime or misdemeanor as required by the Constitution. Pelosi also revealed earlier in the week that the House would hold off on a formal vote on impeachment, leaving an actual impeachment inquiry open-ended. Yeah, that's exactly what they want. They want it to go on for as long as possible, to keep stirring as much dirt as possible. The Louisiana senator was questioned about whether Democrats can make a similar argument by putting forth that Republicans are stupid enough to carry water for a president who consistently puts members of his party on the spot. He answered, I don't mind being on the spot. I don't mind having a public, not a behind closed doors, but a public debate with the president or anybody else. But I have always believed and I will continue to believe, shoot me, when I stop believing that the ultimate arbiter is the American people. Well, good on you, sir. Good on you. You're absolutely right. The American people need to know the facts. More information, not less. And the Democrats are holding behind closed doors, private meetings, not allowing Republicans to participate because they don't want America to know what they're up to. Well, people who've got a little mileage and understand things and are honest can clearly see what the Democrats are up to. They're up to no good. I've told you this before, and I will tell you this again, just like this guy said. Just like Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana said, they are telling America, you're too stupid to understand this. Leave it to us. That's what they're saying. Remember, progressives honestly, deeply, sincerely believe they are intellectually and morally superior to you. They don't believe you can handle the truth. They don't believe you were smart enough to elect the right president. So they're going to fix that problem. And that's what's going on. It's up to us to pay attention. And when it comes time to cast a vote, to make changes. One of the things that needs to be changed is that we need to limit the number of terms these people can have in office so that we can keep better control over who is doing what to us. We should also demand the repeal of the 17th Amendment so that we, in our own state, decide who goes to represent us, not millions of dollars coming from L.A. and New York. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.